We're on Perek Chaf Ches in Shmuel Aleph, and really, this almost starts like a brand new point within what's going to happen, what's happening from now on. This is the end of Shaul Malach's reign, and that's that. In those days, so the Plishim gathered their camps into an army, Li Lachim be Yisrael, to wage war against Bnei Yisrael. Yomer Achish al David, Achish, the king of the Plishim, said to David, listen, I know you and your men are going to come with me. You guys are going to fight on my side. Yomer David Achish, Lachin atosede as Asher Yasa Avdecha. Now, David didn't know what to say to Achish, because, like, again, he has a plan here. His plan is eventually to know the different parts of Plishtim and, you know, fight against them or whatever it is. But he said, therefore you will know that which your servant will do. He didn't say, I'm going to be with you. Come, guys. He didn't say, I'm going to be with you. He didn't say anything like that. He just said, you'll know what's going to happen. But Yomer Achish al David. So Achish said to David, Lachin shomer l'rosh yas simcha kol hayamim. I'm going to make you my bodyguards in all days. Come, Dovi, come.
He's like the...
Now, grab this. Parakhav ches pasag aleph. Stuff from
like,
right here.
Ellie Cohen's story was based on this.
Ellie Cohen's story? What do you mean?
Ellie Cohen was a spy when Syria became like a...
Yeah, this is the line over here. Again, the Plishim absolutely hated Bnei Yisrael to the point where they were willing to take David HaMelech into their account just to do whatever they needed to make sure things are there. They knew that this is the perfect time for them because, number one, Bnei Yisrael no longer protected by David HaMelech. And Shaul HaMelech was already the saddest king in the world. Shaul's down. David HaMelech is down. Everybody is completely down when it comes to this. So now seems to be the absolute right time to go against them completely.
Did they actually know David's standing?
No, they had no idea. All they thought is that David HaMelech was on their side. That's all they were thinking, and all they're saying to themselves is David HaMelech is on our side at this point. The Plishim had their suspicions. Welcome, Ez. They had their suspicions, but they really had absolutely no idea what was going to be with anything they were going to do. Grab that David from right there. Just give it over to Ez. So that's the idea behind it over here. David HaMelech has to make a decision, but he was purposely vague. You know what I'm going to do. You know what I'm going to do. Wouldn't tell him anything whatsoever, and that's the idea behind it. It's normal for a king back then, this is from the Malbim, it was normal for all the kings back then to have soldiers from other nations, from other people around them, to surround them just in case there were people on his side that were bad people. So for David HaMelech to have been around the king Achish when Achish was going out to war made a total amount of sense. David HaMelech was supposed to sniff out the enemy, and he trusted David, even though David HaMelech was.
Well, you got to trust the enemy. You're basically, you're finding somebody who's not trustworthy to sniff out people. Other people are not trustworthy.
Remember, so David HaMelech is already hated by Shaul. Yeah, he knows that David HaMelech is
going. Yeah, he has the blood of how many Plishtim on his hands from before?
He definitely knows that, and he knows that he's a warrior, and he came under his protection. So right now, with David HaMelech running away from Shaul HaMelech, Achish is putting all of his trust in David and saying, you're going to be with me, you're going to be my bodyguard, you're going to be the person with me at all times, I'm going to trust you more than I trust anybody else. And Pasuk Gimel, Shmuel Meis. At that moment, Shmuel had already died. That Shmuel died. Yisbaru kol Yisrael. All Bnei Yisrael mourned him. Vayikbaru b'Ramah. They buried him Ramah. Ubeira, right, which was his city. V'shol heisera ovaz ez yonim ha'aretz. Now we're trying to see where Shaul HaMelech was holding. Shaul HaMelech removed all Ov and Yidoni from the land. You got to remember what it was like without Nevi'im. We don't have Nevi'im today, so we have no idea what this poll was.
This post before you got onto Shaul, they buried him in Ramah and in his city.
Yeah, we'll have to get to that as well. Both of those are going to have to make a lot of sense. But we have to understand something over here. This makes, the reason why we're mentioning Shmuel's death over here is because what people were like when they saw a Navi. You were with a Navi, you got everything you wanted. You could speak to him about anything you wanted at any point, and he'll tell you exactly what you needed to know. That was amazing, and people got so used to it. When Shmuel and Navi died, they didn't know what to do with themselves. So they went to magicians. They went to these people, the Baloi, Ov, and Yidoni, all these black magic people that were all around. They went and they found them, and they said, hey, you guys know what's going on here. You guys know what to do. If we can't get Shmuel and Navi to tell us anything, we'll go to you instead. So Ov and Yidoni all of a sudden raised themselves up, and everybody in Klal Yisrael had a special magician that they would go to in order to find out the future, because they didn't know what to do now that Shmuel was gone. So what Shaul HaMelech had to do as soon as Shmuel and Navi died is get rid of all the Ovos of Yidoni. He heard what was going on, so he sent messages throughout all of Klal Yisrael and said, no Ov, no Yidoni, everything's out. I want everything out completely. And some say that when Shmuel and Navi died, all of prophecy died. At this moment, Nevuah went down completely, and all the Nevi'im who were prophesying in the times of Shmuel and Avi, they all of a sudden just stopped and said, we don't know what to do anymore. We don't have our abilities. Everything was gone. Shmuel and Avi was just that powerful, and they didn't know what was happening. So were there Bali, Ov, and Yidoni before this? Probably. There probably were. But nobody cared, because Shmuel and Avi was the guy, and yeah, there were other Nevi'im. Right, and sort of like, it's weird, but that's exactly what happens with Elisha later. We're going to see that Elisha had a band of Nevi'im, and they only got their Nebuah through him. It was almost like Kadosh Baruch Hu sent the Nebuah down to him, and then it spread out to everybody else. So it almost is like a hotspot for Wi-Fi.
Well, no, but first time we see that is by Moshe, when those 70 people, he gave from his mihodo.
Exactly. And it came down, and then went out, so you were able to do it. Then it says, Pasuk Dalet, Vayikatsu Pelishim, the Pelishim all gathered. Vayavo v'yachanu b'shunem, they sat by Shunem, they're ready to fight B'nai Yisrael, v'yikbot Shol, kol Yisrael v'yachanu b'Gilboa. So Shol gathered all of his Jews, all the war together, they camped by Gilboa. These are two opposite lands. It's today by the southern base of Har Chorim, which is south, toward the south of Eretz, of Yerushalayim. Vayar Shol's machane Pelishim, vayira, vayachar li b'ma'o. Shaul HaMelech saw the machane of the Pelishim. He saw the camp of the Pelishim. He was scared. He didn't know what to do over here. Shaul HaMelech was an extremely, extremely big chassid. We're dealing with a person who was generous with his money. He was humble. He was a Talmud Chacham. But once he sinned with David HaMelech and went against his promise that he wouldn't kill David and still tried to kill him, Shaul HaMelech is scared out of his mind. He's a broken, frightened man. The Abarbanel says this is a broken, frightened man who did not compare to the original Shaul HaMelech that was a head taller than all the people and was so great and everybody loved him. He's no longer the same person. Vayishal Shaul HaBashem. And he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. Below a note, he was not answered. Lo and Hashem, Hashem didn't answer him. Gamba Chalomos, neither in dreams. Gamba Urim, neither in the Urim Etumim. Gamba Nevi'im, nor with prophets themselves. He asked, what am I supposed to do? So the Abarbanel says he's blamed for this. The wording is by Yishal Shol. He asked, but he wasn't Doresh. He didn't search for God. He just asked God what he's supposed to do, and that's all it was. And therefore he's punished, because how could you have not done everything you can to find out what you're supposed to do at this moment? Go further. Find out more. Do as much as you can. And he got
nothing.
What's he supposed
to do?
Absolutely nothing.
He went to the Urim Etumim. He went to...
Try harder. Daven more. Go to again. Try it again. In other words, like literally, keep going and don't stop. But Shaul HaMelech stopped and said, there's nothing else I can do. Shelas Chalom, the Miyam Loez mentions over here. Shelas Chalom is a very interesting process. There's a sefer called Shal Zetshuvas Min HaShamayim, in which one of the Rishonim, we don't know exactly which one, used to write down certain questions on a piece of paper. He would fast all day long, and that night he would put it underneath his pillow, and in the morning he would have the answer on another piece of paper underneath his pillow. It had to be done in a certain way, and there were certain things behind it.
Meaning he'd wake up with a dream having...
No, it was another piece of paper. With a piece of paper with the answer, it was specifically Tehillim Yud Beis that they had to say beforehand. They had to have a special name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in which they would have it by while they were doing Tehillim Yud Beis. In order to do that, you were supposed to get it over there. And of course, we have never seen something like this happen. And most people say that Shal Zetshuvas Min HaShamayim is not a real sefer. It's a sefer that was made up by somebody based on what he thought it was, etc. But it is something that could have worked back in the time. Shaul tried Shelos HaChalom. It didn't work. He went to the Urim Etumim. Now, the Urim Etumim was not by him anymore. David HaMelech had it, because remember, Novir HaKohanim was already killed by Shaul HaMelech. So the Kohanim had all run away. Most of them were dead. Those that were alive were now with David HaMelech or in hiding. So the Urim Etumim was with David HaMelech. Some say that Shaul HaMelech sent a secret message to David HaMelech to ask the Urim Etumim to find out whether it was going to work. That's Rashi. But it didn't work for him.
Rashi says that because he was, the reason that Urim didn't work because he killed Novir.
Because he killed Novir.
Meaning, so he's punished. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't with him.
What, we already know it wasn't with him because David HaMelech was asking the Urim Etumim. It didn't work for him because of what happened by Novir, but he did go and ask it. Yonas ibn Uziel says the prophets that he went to were men who formerly prophesied but no longer had the answers, and they couldn't answer anything. So the Nevi'im were lost as well. So now Shaul HaMelech is sitting there and he's saying, what am I supposed to do? Vayomer Shaul Lava. Then he said to his servants, Bakshu Li'eshes Balazov, find me a woman who knows how to do the Ov ceremony. The Elcha Ilah, I'm going to go to Rabbi Edrushabba and I'm going to search her out. By Yom Rav Adavai Lav, and his servant said to him, in Eishes Balazov, Ein Dor. There is one, in Ein Dor. Ein Dor is a certain area. If you go there, you're going to be able to find her over there. Chuvas Redvaz mentions Lahalacha, that Shaul HaMelech paskind, that when it says in the Torah, Tamim Tiyam Esha Melechacha, you have to be perfect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and don't get involved in Ov, in Yidoni, and all these Levin Lavin, it's only when you have other ways of going about it. Meaning, if you have other ways of trying to ask questions, and there's other ways to do it, then you can't go to these different types of magics. But there's nothing else you can do. This is Shaul HaMelech's psak, but we don't pass him this way. If there's nothing else you can do, you went and you asked the questions, you went and did this, and it didn't work whatsoever, then you're allowed to go and resort to black magic. you're allowed to do such a thing.
Maybe he was saying this is because it's like kind of stifashos.
Yeah, so pretty much. So the Chuvas Rav says, out of desperation, he decided he was going to use it and he was going to consult this medium to be able to go through. Shaul HaMelech is an unbelievable person. The mushel that they give in the Medrash is, it's like a king who orders all the roosters to be slaughtered one night. And then the next morning complains, what happened to the rooster? Why didn't I wake up on time? Where are all the roosters? You just killed all the Balei Ov, and now you're asking for a Balei Ov. Clearly it was the wrong thing to do. If it's the wrong thing to do, then there never is a right time to do it. If there's never a right time to do it, why are you asking for a Balei Ov? What's going on with you? What are you doing over here? Now, who was this person? The advisors that he went to were Doeg LaAdomi and Avner. Doeg LaAdomi we've seen before. Avner, his general. Avner's mother was the wife of Tzfanya Hanavi. Tzfanya Hanavi, who we see from the Trei Aser, was Avner's mother.
He didn't live much later?
No. Well, we don't know when Tzfanya lived. There's two of the Trei Aser we have no idea about. And one of them is Tzfanya. We're not sure when Tzfanya lived. This woman over here is specifically mentioned as, there's Eishes Balov Eilchayla. It says, Vayomar Avadav Hine Eishes Balasov. It's as if, here is the Balasov. There was somebody that we all knew when it came through over here. Avner's mother knew how to do it, but she had never done it before, says the Medrash. You're permitted to learn how to do it. You can learn how to do Ov and Yidoni, etc., and all those things. You're just not allowed to do it. So that's what it means that we refer to this over here. Ha'isha, according to the Bala Turim, who's mentioned elsewhere, says is the same gematria as he, Aim Avner, that this is the aim of Avner, the mother of Avner, and that's the person that we're referring to over here, and that's that. Some say Avner's mother knew how to use this in a permitted manner, so therefore everything over here was going to be mutter, not through actual Bala Ov ways.
Permitted?
I have no idea. No idea. But it's through that it was somehow she had a mastery over it. She was able to use it in some way over here. But that's the reason why he had to go over here and he had to go through. He really, put yourself in Shaul's shoes for a second here. He had Bnei Yisrael on his, all sitting there saying, Shaul, what do we do? What do we do? Shaul HaMelech knew that Shmuel HaNavi had already died. And he knew that he was going to die soon. That was part of the nevuah of Shmuel HaNavi, that his kingdom was going
to
end.
It's desperation. This is why people go to psychics today. Desperate.
And not only that, David HaMelech is on the other side. The one who's always been your chief general, the person who's fought every war for you against the Plishtim, is now on the Plishti side.
Does he think that?
Shaul HaMelech? Yeah. Knows that.
He knows he lives there. Doesn't know he's like fighting on it.
No, he knows that he's on the Plishti side, and for sure there are spies. They have to know what Elchish is thinking. People are going from one to the other. He had no idea. He just wanted to know what was going to happen in the battle. He just needed a little bit of information. And again, living in a times in a VM, it makes a lot of sense that you'd want to know what's going on. This is not like our times where you're just taking guessworks anyway. So Shaul disguised himself. He totally dressed himself up. He wore other clothing. He went with two men with him. He went with the two men with him. That's Doeg LaAdomi and Achito and Avner. And he went to the woman at night. I want you to do this magic of Ov. And then I'm going to tell you, right? I'll tell you who I want to bring up over here. So the Malbim says he brought the escort and went at night so there wouldn't be an issue of Yichud. He specifically wanted to make sure there was no issue of Yichud over here, and that's that. The word Vayischapes is a word of Chafshi. He made everything seem so, common. He's no longer the king. He's acting like a commoner would. He's acting like somebody, I'll do whatever I think is the best thing for me right now, when this is not the good move. This is not the move that you should be making at this time. Some say that the second person that was with him was Amasa. We'll see that Amasa is going to be there as well. We're also going to see some learn from this that a very important person should never go out at night with less than two people with him. That at night, there's dangerous things going on. Nowadays, it doesn't apply because of lights that we have everywhere. But a person should, maybe in Lincolnwood. But you shouldn't go out at night with less than just by yourself. It has to be with two people with it right over there. And it seems like the power works at night as only. There seems to be something over here. Okay, there is a Rambam. The Rambam says that the way that this something is going to be, he says, if you hold a myrtle branch in your hands, the person would put his arms together and slowly recite a certain charm. He would then burn a particular incense and wait until he could hear a hushed voice speaking to him as if from the ground, answering that which he asked. The Rambam says it's all a fake and none of it is real. But that's what they used to do, and they used to have it fake. They used to have a guy underneath the ground speaking what they wanted to from the ground, doing whatever they were going to do over here. Okay, that's that. Shaul HaMelech is only asking for the spirit. He wants to talk to somebody. Is there somebody I can talk to? Pasutas. By Tomer Ishe Love, the woman said to him, Hineata Yadatas Shoasa Shoal. Shahikh's Ovis Yidoni Mina Aretz. You know what Shoal Mel did. Obviously, she doesn't know this is Shoal. He got rid of all the ovals in Yidoni Mina from the land. Vlamatam is Nakesh Benafshi Lami Seni. Why are you trying to torment me, to trap me, by laying this trap for me and have me killed? Why would you do that to me? Vayishavala Shoal Bashem. Lemor. Shoal swore to her by God, saying, Chaya Shami Korech Avon Bedavarazet. I swear to you, there's no sin in this matter. Again, he's poskening. There's nothing wrong. So he's telling her, there's nothing wrong in this case. So Tomer Isha says, Mi'al Allah, what should I bring? Who should I bring up for you? V'yomer Shmuel Halili. I want you to bring up Shaul, to bring up Shmuel. I think that Shmuel and Avi is going to be the best person for me. I want you to bring up Shmuel for this. All right. Now, we have a lot of arguments. There's a lot of machlokas in between all of the meforshim of what's going on over here. One thing that everybody agrees with is the following. No magic could make Shmuel and Avi, come down from Shemayim to appear upon this earth. There is no way that he could be called by a magician of any sort. So there is no, even if the magic worked, which is already going to be a machlokas between the Rishonim, even if it worked, the way that Shmuel and Avi appeared in front of Shaul and Avi, Shaul HaMelech, was not because of the magic. But what is this machlokas over here? Is it real? The Rambam says everything is a hoax. Everything she's going to do right now is all pretend. She pretended to be shocked. She had everything set up beforehand. All the guy had to hear is who they wanted. The guy spoke from the ground and pretended to be Shmuel and Avi, but was not really Shmuel and Avi. And everything they said was something that they could have figured out on their own. You're going to die in this war. You're going to lose this war. They all knew that Shaul HaMelech was upset and that they were going to lose this war and David Melech was on the other side. People knew this. All they had to do was give in to what he feared, and that's all they did. So the Rambam says the entire thing was a hoax. This woman is an evil woman, and she went ahead and faked the whole thing in front of Shaul, but none of it is real. None of it actually happened. That's how the Rambam understands it. Rav Sadia Gaon and Rav Hai Gaon, both of the later Gaonic period, we're talking around the year 9th century, 860, 870, both of them say, this time it worked. This time it worked. Whatever she did worked. Now, it didn't pull down Shmuel and Avi, but everything she did, she had never done it before, and it never worked before. Then she was going to fake it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down Shmuel and Avi.
She's never done it before. And because she thought it was a prohibited action, why would she do it this time?
No. That was a fake. According to this Rav Sadia Gaon and Rav Hai Gaon, she was a witch. She did do this. She only said to Shaul, wait, you're not going to tell on me, right? And she did it many times, but she faked it all the time.
Right.
This time it worked.
She's freaking out because actually
Shmuel. And that's why she freaks out, because she couldn't believe it actually worked this time. But it didn't work through her magic. It worked because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to. And the third one is the Radak. The Radak says it is real, and it did happen, but Shmuel and Avi was still completely different. What happened with Shmuel and Avi was not through her divination. Before she even started, Shmuel and Avi came down. That's what's
if
up.
If anything would work, it's because of Shamakas.
Correct, but not through the magic. It happened because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Shaul HaMelech to see Shmuel, so it was done through a different process altogether.
But even if it happened through the magic, it's because of Shamakas.
Agreed. I guess you're getting it through. We're getting into semantics here, but the concept would be any time that magic is able to work or something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses through Tuma, it works through the Hester Panim of Hashem, like where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, turns his face and allows something to happen, rather than from the Giloy Panim of Hashem. And although that's a little bit difficult, it's at the end of Chelek Aleph Perek Hey in Derech Hashem, where there is a difference. It's causation. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu the cause, or the result is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not putting himself in the middle of it? It is through Hashem, but in which way? Like Giloy Panim or Hester Panim, that's the only way to go through. Yeah, that's the idea of Koach HaTuma, so to speak, from one or the other. Okay, here's what happened. Vatera Isha Shmuel. The woman saw Shmuel. Chazal tell us that when it comes to Ovin Yidoni, the person who calls up the dead can see the dead. The person who it's called up for can hear the dead speak. Everyone else there cannot hear and cannot see a thing. She saw Shmuel. Vatizak b'kol gadol, she screamed out loud. I'm sorry?
One hears and one sees?
Yes. Just the person calling it up sees. Right, the person who called it up, who asked for it to call up, I should say, who asked for it, hears, and nobody else gets anything. So it's a vatiza b'kol gadol. She screamed out, "Levatomer ishal shol, lemor." She cried out to Shaul, saying, "Lamari mi sani vata shol. Why are you tricking me? You're clearly Shaul HaMelech. You're clearly Shaul HaMelech." So we have to ask, how did she know? By Yomer LaMelech, and the king said to her, "Altiri, don't be afraid. Kimare isa, what do you see?" Because he couldn't see anything. He wasn't able to see anything. Batomer Aisha, and the woman said to Shaul, Elohim re'isi olamin aretz. I see gods rising up from the ground. Awesome people. People that look like nothing else I've ever seen. What does he look like? What's the appearance of such a person? How does he appear? Batomer, and she said, Ish zakein ola. There's an old man coming up. V'otim i'il, he's wearing a cloak. Vayida Shaul ki Shmuel hu. Shaul knew that it was Shmuel. There was a special cloak that Shmuel and Avi always wore. He was a Levi who served in the Beis HaMikdash, and he always had a special meal. She described the cloak, and he said, that's him. That's exactly him.
It wasn't that old, though.
I'm sorry?
It wasn't that old.
Who?
Shmuel.
Shmuel and Avi was not that old.
Yeah,
it was
only Zakein, but he was 52.
Oh, remember? No. Remember, you are right. He was 52 when he died, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that he looked older than he did before he died, so that nobody would say, he only died at 52. He looked like he was older than he was. So it says, Shmuel Zakein Baba Yamin. That was like 8 prakim ago. Shmuel knew that it was Shmuel once she heard that, and he immediately got down to his face, and he bowed down to the ground right over here. Okay, why did she get so crazy over here? So Chazal say a bunch of things over here. Elohim is obviously plural. Sounds like she's talking about judges. Otherwise, it would say Eloha or something like that. But Elohim is judges. What happened according to the Medrash is the following. Shmuel Anavi is sitting in a spot that very few people can get up to in Olam Haba. He's sitting with Moshe Rabbeinu. When he felt himself being pulled, he thought he was being brought to the Beis Din Shomaila to be judged for something that he had done. As that was happening, he turned to Moshe and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, come with me so that you can testify that I never did anything against your Torah. So when Shmuel Anavi was pulled, Moshe Rabbeinu came with him, and she saw, this woman was zocha to see Shmuel Anavi and Moshe Rabbeinu come out from the land. That was the Elohim Ra'isi. And then after that, Moshe Rabbeinu went back, and therefore she said, Ish Zakein, only one old man, Ole, Bu Otami'il. That's what ended up happening. That's how the Gemara says, you have Elohim versus that right over there. And that's why Olim also is in plural. There were two that they saw coming up from the ground itself. Kadosh Baruch Hu had commanded for Shmuel Navi's soul to enter inside a levush, not his actual body, because the body is buried in the ground, but a body that would take the place of Shmuel Navi's body while he'd be on the earth itself. And therefore, it ascended out of the earth itself as if a body was coming up from the earth itself, and that's like Tchias HaMesim, like the ground is going to form into our bodies and come up from the ground, not like zombie world. It's going to be like the body will actually lift itself up. Shmuel Navi appeared as a person right in front of the lady itself. Yeah. Okay, so then we get into the craziest stuff where Targum says, and it's brought down, that when a person comes back from the dead and they're tzaddikim, the eyes can't see it clearly. What the person appears to be in front of you is upside down completely, as if they're walking down from the heavens. Shmuel Anavi was actually coming up from the ground, but she saw him upside down with his feet to the heavens and his head to the ground. I always thought, your eyes, because of the curvature of your eyes, it's like the spoon, like when you see with a spoon, etc. You always see things upside down, but your brain is able to turn things right side up. It's the beauty of the eye, the human eye, and the way your brain is able to process it. I always thought that dead people, your eye cannot process it correctly, and therefore your brain is not able to process it. You're seeing it as the actual upside down version of what the person is. I always thought that,
yeah,
way, but
your brain
I've never
automatically
had like
flips
that.
Whatever you're saying.
Except maybe the brain can't process the way that a ghost would look like. So it processes it differently. I always thought that way, but I don't know. But that's what it was supposed to be right over there. But no question that the pshat behind the pasuk is, there's Kedusha, not Tuma, coming up from the ground. There's Kedusha that I see, these Elohim, coming right over here. Now, how did she know? Again, she might have known that it was Shmuel Navi and that Shaul was special because he came up feet first. It could be that Shmuel Navi actually told her, this man is Shaul. And therefore she said, oh my gosh, this
she
is Shaul.
Can't hear.
But if she can't hear, that's impossible. The third one is that Shmuel Navi bowed down. When it says, Vayikod Apayim Artsov Yishtachu, it doesn't mean Shaul bowed in front of Shmuel. Shmuel bowed in front of his king, Shaul HaMelech. And when she saw that, that's what made her scream and said, I cannot believe you're Shaul HaMelech. Why could it be over here?
I like that. You said it was Rosh Sadia going? I never heard that one before. I like that shot.
Rosh Sadia going, this is the
meaning
first
that's
time.
All fake. And then,
yeah. I'm sorry? Shaul HaMelech still retained kingship and still was called Shaul HaMelech. David HaMelech, we learned last time, David HaMelech, from that point on, once Shaul went against his promise not to kill him, Shaul HaMelech was never treated as a king by David again in private. In public, David HaMelech said, "You're Shaul HaMelech." Shmuel and Avi may have retained that he is still a melech until he dies, because you can't take away a person from being a melech. That can't happen. Yes, you still do, not as one would to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but you would bow down to them out of the kavod that they deserve.
It's respect.
So now it says, Shmuel said to Shaul, "Why have you angered me to bring me up? Why have you brought me up into this place over here? I want nothing to do with this. You're associating me with Tuma. You're associating me with Kishuv. I don't want to be dealing with this. It's been horrible for me. The plishim are waging war against me. Elohim saw me. Hashem has turned away from me alone. Nani od gambiyad neviim gambachalomos. Hashem isn't answering me through neviim or through dreams." Chazal say right there, he didn't say gamba urim. Why? Because he was embarrassed. Because Shmuel and Avi would turn right back to him and say, "You know why you weren't answered through Urim v'Tumim? Because you killed all the Kohanim and Nov." So he was embarrassed to say Gamba Urim, and Chazal say that embarrassment, the busha that he had, was a kapara for him, a kapara, and he was able to enter Olam Haba. Not on the level that he should have been, but he was able to go to Olam Haba because of the busha that he had at this moment. The Akrilecha lo Dieni Ma'aset. So I called you up because I need to know what to do. I need to know what to do in this case. I didn't even mention this, but Chazal say anybody who commits a sin and then is embarrassed by it still has a chelik in Olam Haba, and we learn that from Shaul HaMelech in this pasuk, because he did get Olam Haba because he was embarrassed. V'emer Shmuel v'lamati shaleini, but why are you asking me? V'ashem sor mi'alecha v'yarecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has turned away from you. He has become v'yihi arecha. The word arecha is a weird word. He's become your foe. Look at the word. Normally, if you wanted to say somebody is your friend, you would say the word re'acha. That's your friend. Here it's Arecha. Or is the opposite of Rea. He is the opposite of your friend. He's against you. He's obviously trying to do something against you. You have to go. And some say Vayarecha is a reference. It's your foe, David HaMelech, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with. Vayasal Hashem Kasher Diber, Biyadi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to you what he spoke to me. Vayikra Hashem Esam Amlocha Miyadecha. He tore away the Malchus from you. Vayitna L'Reacha L'David. He gave it over to your friend, to David. And obviously, Reacha being used in the opposite way of Arecha in the last Pasuk. That's what happened over here. Shaul HaMelech would never heard such things in his life. Shmuel HaNavi was always the kindest and best that he could be around Shaul HaMelech. But now he's not holding anything back. No vagueness anymore. He never told him that David HaMelech was anointed king, but now he's telling him, "You don't deserve to be king anymore. Kasher lo shamata b'kol Hashem, you didn't listen to the voice of Hashem. Lo asisa charon apu ba'amalek, you didn't fulfill his anger against Amalek. Alkena dabar azel asalacha yom azel, that Hashem ayom azel, that's why Hashem is doing this to you on this day." And Pasuk Yud Tes, V'yitzi Hashem kam Yisrael am chab yaplishim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the plishim into your people into the hands of the plishim. Umachar, and tomorrow, ata uvanecha imi. You and your sons are going to be with me. Gam es machne Yisrael. So too, Machne Yisrael. They're going to all die. You're going to be with me. Yitin Hashem biyad plishtim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure they're in the hands of the plishtim itself. And that is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Shaul HaMelech is being told something that he never wanted to hear. You had rachamim on Amalek. You had rachamim on Amalek, and you didn't kill all of them when I asked you to. But you have no rachamim on David HaMelech. No rachamim on David, and you're chasing after him. That right there, that hypocrisy that you're showing, is the reason why you're no longer able to become king and why you're going to have to die. He told them the following. Shmuel revealed what was going to happen. You are going to die. No one is ever told the day of their death. David HaMelech asked for it, begged for it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said no one will ever know the day of their death. Shaul HaMelech knew he was going to die, and this right here shows the absolute greatness of Shaul HaMelech. Shmuel and Avi told him, "Here's the deal. You're going to die tomorrow." To which Shaul HaMelech asked, "Do I have to go to war? What if I run away? Can I cheat death? If I don't fight tomorrow, will I cheat death?" And Shmuel HaNavi told him, "Yes, you will be able to live. But if you die by the sword, you'll have done God's word, and then you'll be judged." Didn't promise him Olam Haba, but he said, "If you do that, then you're going to go through." Shaul HaMelech chose the next day to go to war, knowing he was going to die, and as we'll see, fight to the very end. fight to the very end against the Plishtim, did not give up, never gave up, no matter what. He chose to die and to be rewarded in that way by the sword itself. It's an unbelievably high level. And the line over here in which he says, "Imi, you're going to be with me," says Shmuel Anavi. That's awesome also. That means the promise that he was going to make it into Olam Haba, there was going to be there, but it was very...
Maybe he had the choice to go to war and to sacrifice himself, but how could he take the soldiers and
his sons,
what he is a certain death?
And sons
right,
himself?
For as far as he knows, a certain death.
Right now, if we understand this as being that Shmuel Anavi is speaking to him, and it's real, right? If it's the Baal Zov, then whatever, but if it's Shmuel Anavi for real, he may have seen this as a final nevuah. The nevuah is you must go to war, you must fight the Plishim, and you must die. And therefore he felt, I have to take the army. I don't have a choice here. Could he have decided not to? Yeah, just like anybody else has Bechira. He had Bechira.
Or
he had
at least, like, I don't know, send tell him half the soldiers home. And
right.
Like,
maybe, and you know what? Maybe he did. Maybe he specifically made it strategically so that as many soldiers as could live would live. Maybe he did it that way. We don't know. But he was told, he felt that this is what he had to do. So, Pasachav, Vayimar Shol, Vayipol Malokam Aso Arza. By the way, as well, even if he did get it through a nevuah, and even if he did know it, a bad nevuah can always change to be good. So he might have also felt like maybe we can change to be good. His whole body, he bent down to the ground, literally prostrated entirely to the ground. He was very scared of Shmuel's words, but he had no strength. He had been fasting all day and all night, and this is at night. He had not eaten anything whatsoever, and that's that. So he was so scared, he fell flat in the ground, and he had no idea what to do over here. Avner and Amasa turned to him and said, "Oyve, does that mean that we shouldn't fight against the Plishtim?" And Shaul said, he lied. According to the Medrash, he lied. And he said, "Tomorrow we're going to be victorious, and my sons are to be appointed leaders." That he told them that in order to make sure that the army would not lose hope in battle and immediately run away from the war itself. He didn't want to break the spirit of the people. Vatavu Yishol Shaul. The woman came to Shaul, Vatera ki niva ma'od. She saw that he was very alarmed. Vatomri love, again, nobody heard this except for him. He's the only one that heard it. Vatomri love, she said to him, Yine shamat, shama shivchasecha bekolecha. I heard your voice. Vasim nashi bechapi, and I put my soul in your hands. Right? I put my soul in my hands by doing this. Vashma zivarecha shirivarte lai. I did everything he said. Vatashmano, igamata bekol shivchasecha. I need you to listen to me now. She said, "I'm going to give you some bread that I need you to eat. That way you'll have enough strength to be able to go on the road. I need you to travel away from here. I don't want you to die on my floor after hearing this news." He refused. "I'm not eating." His servants urged him. The he listened to their voice. He got up on the ground and he sat down in the bed itself. He felt he didn't want to fight. Before I fight in the battle against the Plishtim tomorrow, I don't want to eat. I want to go straight in and fight till my last breath. But they said to him, that can't be. Isha ego marbek, the woman had an ego marbek, means a young fattened calf, babayis, in her house. She quickly shechted it. By the way, I can't even imagine how long this took. You know what I'm saying? Just give me like 4 hours to make a calf for you. I no idea. Absolutely no idea. She shechted it. She took flour, batolash, and she kneaded it. Batofeo matzos, and she made matzos. Obviously the quickest thing that she could possibly make. But the cow, the calf, that was ready by the next day. But Tagish
lived
they
came to her at night to begin with. I mean, they were there all night.
Obviously they wasn't there.
And also, How could he have an appetite? Now he's like, no. He's like, okay, fine. Not only just like
steak,
eat some bread,
he's veal. I want some veal, right? Because it's an eagle. But Tagish Levinei Shaul, she brought it in front of Shaul, brought it in front of his servants. Vayochelu, they ate. Vayakum, they got up. Vayochel b'laylohu, and they left on that very night. Number one, halachically speaking, this means that a shechita done by a woman is mutter. It says she shechted it, not that.
Why would you have a halamina that's not?
Oh, there's a huge machlokas. There's a huge machlokas if a woman is able to do shechita. Because the only place that we have the Vayizbach, which is seemingly, we learn it out from Korbanos. If it's learned out from Korbanos, only men are allowed to do Shechita by Korbanos. Okay, so if only men are able to do Shechita by Korbanos, why would we be allowed to do it anyway? Since Halach Lamoshe Misina, and we don't have anything else, we would only learn it from there. So there. This is one of the reasons why they feel that there's a Gilui Milsa that they learn from over here, that a woman Shechting is Mutter. They do say that at first there should be a man on top of them, whether or not, man meaning watching it the entire time, whether or not a woman can eventually be a full-time Shochet, right? Seems to be somewhat mutter, but either way, regardless, that's number one. Number two, she baked matzahs over here because, again, it's Avner's mother, and because of that, he ate from her slaughter, he ate from her food and everything like that. If this was really a Balas Ov, who's a real evil woman who does these terrible things, how in the world did Shaul eat in the house? Unless he was so starving that he was dying.
But maybe there were different
then that would be strange.
Like nowadays, we have
halachos versus customs.
Social norms. Like perhaps there was nobody in those days who would ever eat some food that is not chefed properly. That was probably like a standard.
That very well could be. That very well could be. That something was normal when it came down over here. Okay. We're going to talk about Ivshi and Yonadav in a second. We're not there just yet. But either way, this is a good thing for Shaul HaMelech. He never saw somebody take over his place. There's nothing worse for anybody in the world than to see someone take over their position and do it better than he does. Like, unless you give it up yourself. But if you're fired and somebody takes your position and succeeds in that position, you feel horrible. You feel like garbage. Like, that guy really? That guy took over and that guy did it? Shaul HaMelech never had to see it. Never had to see David HaMelech take his place and be a better king than he was. So that was a bracha on his part. Unfortunately, he had to die for it, but it was a bracha in a way. Perichov Tes. Let's see if we can finish Perichov Tes. Ve'yivuzu plishim eskol machneim. The plishim gathered all their camps, Afeka, to the land called Afeka. Ve'yisrael chonim ba'ayin, asher b'Yisrael. They stood by a spring by Yisrael. Ve'sarni plishim over l'meos la'alofim. The captain of the plishim crossed over hundreds and then thousands. The David and Hashem over in Bachroni and Achish. David and his men were crossing over slowly with Achish at the very, very end. They were all there with Achish at the very, very end. Okay, next. So the plishim, the officers of the plishim, turned to Achish and said, "What are these Jews doing here?" Ivrim is in the other people. Like, what are they doing here? Why would you bring them with? Don't you recognize David? He's the servant of Shaul, the king of Israel. He's been with me these days. Maybe even years. It feels like it's been years already, right? He's like trying to make it sound a lot better. He's been with me for like 2 days or I mean like 2 years. Like trying to make sure that they would accept him. I haven't found anything wrong with him this entire time. Things have been really, really good. Chazal say he was actually with him for 4 months, and during that time he was fighting all the plishtim in the south and then killing them all, so nobody would go tell Achish what he was doing. Secretly destroying city after city after city.
Yeah, but
Achish says...
killing like, oh, what happened to the city over there? No one's there anymore.
We talked about the Arbanel. The Arbanel says that idea as well, right? But either way, but going through over here, and he said, Achish looked at him and he said, he has his family living in Siklag. He has their families. All the people that are with him are living in Siklag. Clearly he's staying here. It feels like they've been here for many years. So in Pasuk Dalet, Vayiktzifu Alav Sari Plishim. The Sari Plishim were very angry. Vayamelo Sari Plishim, Hashav Ezeish, return this guy. Yashua Makom, bring him back to his place, Asherif Gadatosham, that you got him from over there. Don't bring him with us to war, right? If he goes to war, he's going to be a sutton for us. Well, what if this guy wants to appease his master Shaul? Hello, Barasha and Hashem Ayim. He's right there at the head of the camp. Isn't this David who they used to sing about and that Shaul killed thousands of Plishtim and David killed tens of thousands of Plishtim? There were probably Plishtim in this army who lost their brothers, fathers, or sons to David. There's no way we're letting this guy go over here. That's that. Notice, by the way, they never said his name when talking about him. They just said, Hashiv is a ish. They couldn't even say David HaMelech's name because he was so hated to them. He didn't want to have anything whatsoever. And plus, these people also believed in omens. They believed in bad omens and bad luck. Can you imagine? This guy's coming out to war with us. This guy is for sure bad mazel for us. There is no way things are going to be over here. And it looks suspicious. We've waged war against the Jews, and David HaMelech, the Eved of Shaul, is sitting with us right here. What do you think he's going to do if we have Shaul HaMelech right in front of us? He's going to make sure that Shaul HaMelech lives. Maybe this is his whole plan, to ingratiate himself back into Shaul HaMelech, or the whole thing was a ruse, and Shaul was faking it, and David HaMelech was running away from him. Just, they had no idea, but they knew there is no way we're going to let this go. Vayikra Achish al David. Achish called out to David, Yomei Lav. And now he's in a very precarious position. He's trying to kick him out of the army, but not make him feel, because you can imagine, David HaMelech's kicked out of the army. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to defect to the Jews. So he had to make sure that he's not going to defect, but he needs to be kicked out. I believe you're good. You're good in my eyes. You're going and coming within my camp. I'm good with it. I haven't found anything wrong with you until today. But in the eyes of the Sranim, you're not so good. There's something wrong over here. I want you to go back in peace. I don't want you to do any evil in the eyes of the plishtim. Vayomer David Achish, ki mal sisa, what did I do? Mamot sasa ba'avdecha miyom asher ayisi lefenecha. What have you found in your servant from the day that I came in front of you, Adi Yomazah, until today? Ki lo avo v'no chamti bo'evi adoni ha-melech. Why shouldn't I fight against the enemies of my master, the king? I want to go to war with you. But he did. This is David HaMelech realizing he had just been granted an ex machina. An ex machina just means you're given an ability to get out from everything. This is a way to get out of everywhere. You have it right there. And he's just like, oh, you mean I don't have to fight this war? David HaMelech had no idea how he was going to be in this war. What's he going to do? Is he going to fight against the Plishtim? Well, he was going to eventually, but he had no idea like what he was going to do over here. This was exactly the best thing that could possibly happen to him at this time, because no one would know. And especially, can you imagine how bad it would be if he was in the war fighting with Achish and Shaul was killed? Nobody would believe him when he said he had nothing to do with it and then became king afterward. Nobody would believe him whatsoever. He didn't want to be in Yavau, said the Abarbanel. It's the best thing for him to get out. Vayan Achish vayomer el David. Achish answered and said to David, Yadati ki tovot ha-meinai, kemalach Elohim. You in my eyes are like an angel of God. Achsari plishim amru. But the officers of the plishim said, lo yaleim anu mochama, that you can't come with us to war. As a side note, this is what a king should not do. Blame somebody else for the reason. Own it. If you're the king, you're making the decision.
Right, but it also seems that Achish was more of a governor than an actual king.
That definitely sounds that way.
Meaning he was like the head of part of the army, but there are other...
Yeah, it does sound that way, that he did not have as much power, or maybe he feigned the power. Hold on, I want you to wake up early in the morning. And those servants of your master that came with you, I want you to go out early in the morning. That way, number one, nobody will really see you. Those that see you won't think that you deserted us. They'll just think like, oh, they had to go somewhere. Maybe they'll think there's even a plan that they're going to ambush them from the other side or whatever it is. I just don't want you to feel singled out by anybody over here. So get out before anybody sees you and make it easier for you. So David went with his men. They went up early in the morning to go to the land of the Plishtim. The Plishtim went to Israel. Now, what were you going to say, Benjamin? That's the end
of... Why doesn't he go to the other side and fight for the Jews? He knows that they're going to go annihilate his own people.
Now, he's in a quandary. I'm not going to be able to finish Perek Lamed because we only have 3 minutes left. But very quickly, I'm just going to start up with the first pasuk. Vayibavod David... This is, by far, this leads into the end of Shmuel Aleph, which is really the end of everything. Vayibavod David v'anash of Tziklag. When David and his men came back to Tziklag, by Yom HaShlishi, it took 3 days to get from where they were to get down to Tziklag. Va'amaleki pashtu al Negev. The Amaleki people that he had raided before, their relatives came, and they raided the south, the El Tziklag. They also took Tziklag itself. By Yaakov Tziklag, they attacked it, by Yisrael Zobaesh, and they burned the city in a fire. By Yishbos and Hashem, they captured the women Asherba, Mikatum Agadol, from young to old, Loe Misuish, not one man was killed. They carried them off and went on their way. Now this was typical of the Amalekim. They didn't have the courage to confront Bnei Yisrael directly. They would only do it indirectly when Bnei Yisrael were running away, when David HaMelech was there, and they were all weak and they were defenseless. They'd done the same thing in the days of Moshe. They grabbed Bnei Yisrael right when they were the weakest they possibly could have been. They knew that David HaMelech had staged his attacks on Amalek. They knew that he was staying in Tziklag, and they went and they took it away. This was a pure gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same time that the Malachim had grabbed his wives and everything like that, at that moment, David HaMelech is returning, saw the raid, and as we'll see, we'll be able to catch up and grab his wives, take all
the
stuff back.
Why didn't he leave some? He has 600 men. Leave a few of them to protect the...
So he did. He left 200, but the 200 men were captured as well. There were too many people that were over there, but we'll see. There were 200 men that were left in Tziklag itself. But Belinad, we'll start with Perek Lama next time.